You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday. A lot of fun with Chris Berman last hour. Also, we talked to Andrew Brandt, former front office executive for the Green Bay Packers, and he is the Buzzkill. That's his new nickname. He also writes for the Monday Morning Quarterback, and he said that he was guaranteeing Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson will not be traded. Said he doesn't see how it's possible, and he's willing to take a shower of Wisconsin cheese that he would pour on his head. And I thought that was interesting because we are in the wishful reporting mode here when it comes to Deshaun Watson and or Carson Wentz. You want movement. You want change. You want something to talk about. And we're so far down the rabbit hole talking about where Deshaun Watson's going. Not if, but when he's going to be traded, where he'll be traded, different scenarios, what would it take? But it'll be difficult to pull off. And I wonder if you're the Texans and you truly want to keep Deshaun Watson, you want to keep him happy, keep him in Houston, then you'll hire the coach that he wants, Eric Bieniemy. Because then it feels like, okay, we gave you what you wanted. Is this enough to keep you in Houston? And if not, he has a no-trade clause. He can tell you that he doesn't want to go to the Jets or doesn't want to go to the Falcons or he wants to go to the Dolphins. But it'll be difficult, I think, because I don't know what you trade for Deshaun Watson. I'm guessing you're probably going to have to give up at least 4 first-round picks. I'm guessing that's where you start. And I started to wonder, it might be worth it. If you're the Jets and you've been looking for a franchise quarterback for decades, there he is. If you're the Dolphins, are you a quarterback away, a great quarterback away from challenging for that division? And if you start to look at your last 4 draft picks, would you trade those 4 draft picks for Deshaun Watson? And Miami's a good young team. The Jets can be a good young team. Atlanta, if you get rid of Matt Ryan and or Julio Jones, or do you keep Julio Jones? So there's a lot of different scenarios thrown in there. But I don't know if you don't look at this as a rebuild. Like Houston is a rebuild. If you bring in Deshaun Watson, you want to bring somebody in as a franchise quarterback, established himself, and he's ready to go. He's ready to win now. And we haven't seen this, I don't think. I'm trying to think the last time we had a quarterback of this magnitude who was traded. I mean, Jay Cutler was a big deal when he was traded, but he's nowhere near Deshaun Watson and that value.
Whoa, easy.
But you start to look at what we do to get in a position to draft a quarterback because you think he's a franchise quarterback. We haven't had a situation where this is a young quarterback who's already getting paid and he's a franchise quarterback. And Jay Cutler at the time when he got traded was 25, and this is 2008, so he's 25, just came off a Pro Bowl year, and then he got traded. I mean, you can say that's sort of close, but Deshaun Watson is considered one of the top, 7, 6, 5 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, I'm guessing, as we move, maybe higher than that. Yes, McLovin. Would you say that that's a fair?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to need like a Carson Wentz package for, and then some. Like, Jay Cutler was probably like 1 first rounder. You're going to need, like you said, 4.
At least 4. And then you wonder if your team is going to look at this and say, well, it's worth it. Then there's also with the Texans, with the dead cap money. And that's the same thing with Carson Wentz. I don't know what Carson Wentz cost you. Like, if I'm the Colts, I'd say, I'll give you a 3rd round pick. We'll take him off your hands. We'll give you a 3rd round pick. Because you're going to have that, salary cap hit as well. Yeah, McLovin.
If not Carson Wentz, then what in Indianapolis? Have you gotten to do your homework yet on that? I know it's only been a day since Philip Rivers retired, but
I would be really curious about the value of Matthew Stafford. I don't know if Dan Campbell just took over, is going to come in and say, you know what? Let's start over. And can you get something? What do you get something from Matthew Stafford? What is the value there? That's a plug and play, and now all of a sudden you have a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Not that you didn't have it with Philip Rivers, but Matthew Stafford would be an upgrade. Yeah, Paul.
Just to give you an idea, I know it's not a great comparison, but the trade for Jay Cutler,
The Broncos received two first-round draft picks, a third-round draft pick, and Kyle Orton. And that was for Jay Cutler, who was not considered as highly as a Watson is now.
Phone calls are welcome. I'll get to those in a moment. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning to Peacock. That's our TV partner. You can download the app, watch for free all 3 hours. And our great radio affiliates, the Fox Sports Radio lineup. We're close to 400 cities around America. Derek in Virginia joins us. Hey, Derek, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Hey, you were kind enough to have me on again a month or two ago, and I unprompted gave my story about how I became a Bills fan. And your response was that you didn't think anyone in the audience was interested about looking for info about how Derek became a Bills fan. But then you just asked Chris Berman how he became a Bills fan, and you got 10 minutes of solid content. You're killing me, Smalls. Go Bills.
Derek, Chris Berman is just a little more popular than you. They might care about how he became a Bills fan and has been one for 40 years.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all.
That was my question.
What was your question, Derek?
Well, my question was, is that did you use my question?
No. I'm sorry, Derek. I did not think of you when I was talking. I think of you a lot, but I did not think of you when I was talking to Chris Berman.
Yes. I'm slightly more curious, though, now to know how Derek became a Bills fan, because it's got to be a fascinating story.
All right.
Can we get him back on the horn?
No, tomorrow. I can't take too much of Derek today. I can't. But if Derek wants to call in tomorrow, and in great detail, let us know how you became a Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, paint the picture, Derek.
Yes, Paul.
For some reason, I think Derek has a lot of free time on weekdays to call places.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's...
We don't want to profile here.
No.
We love our audience, and if you're able to call in or you're able to watch, we appreciate that. Yes, McLovin?
Yeah, I'm with Derek. He had a valid case, and you know it.
You're right. You know what? Maybe that should be the poll question.
I get the sense that Derek actually does this kind of thing throughout his whole day, where he's like, organic bananas? What is the... everything is like, something's going on here. What is with the bananas?
Four boxes from the Amazon guy. What's going on?
Who's
going
to break down all this cardboard? What's going to happen with the recycling?
Derek, if you want to call in tomorrow and let us know how you became a Buffalo Bills fan.
I think he just got booked on the 12:15 podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
Rich Eisen just booked him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did.
Damn it.
Yeah, Eisen just
He's
booked
gonna
him.
He's going to scoop us.
Yep, he is.
Ratings gold.
So we lead the show today with the obvious, Derek in Virginia. Derek, how did you become a Bills fan?
I was just wondering. How did you become a Bills fan?
Oh, that was always one of my favorites. We would do something on our show, and then you'd have a host who would then follow up and go, you know, I was just wondering about this, even though we already knew what the answer was from our show.
It's like the most random topic, too. Like, there's no way you were just wondering that.
I was just wondering.
And Dan, I'm looking at you. We both have the same name in our head and the same interview in our head.
Yeah.
Same for the last show.
Yep, the last show. Karen in Louisiana. Hi, Karen.
Hi, dear. I was just thinking what your opinion was. I saw on Yahoo this morning who the Hall of Fame in baseball, you know, they were going for. And, you know, it's going to be a Clements, Sosa, I can't remember who all of them were. But and then they have an if beside Clements' name because of his political opinion.
Oh, no, you're talking about Curt Schilling, I think, Karen.
Right, Curt Schilling. Yeah, I'm talking about Curt Schilling. And, you know, I don't have no political opinion, if you want to know these days. But,
Karen, you know, how long have you been a Buffalo Bills fan, Karen?
I'm not a Buffalo Bills fan.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
I'm a Saints fan.
Well, how long?
I live in Louisiana.
How did you become a Saints fan, Karen?
I've been here all my life, but I like him through the Phillies. I liked him, you know, when his, you know, when he got cut on his ankle and he played and he won, you know, the World Series and the whole nine yards, you know.
All right. Well, thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. I'm not quite sure what Karen was bringing up with baseball.
You caught her off guard a little bit. You didn't think that you were going to get to her, and then she just came up randomly with a question on the fly there.
Why I didn't? What is the baseball? What am I missing here, McLovin?
It was confusing because she mentioned Roger Clemens, head coach, Chile. But I do have a Hall of Fame question. Can Antonio Gates get into the Hall of Fame even though he was caught doing steroids and suspended? Because I was thinking about this with Philip Rivers. In the NFL, why is that fine? And then we can't let in Barry Bonds.
It's a different sport.
How can it be a different sport, though? It should be the same principle. Listen to me talking like
no,
this.
No. We hold these baseball records. They're so sacred to us. And then when you violate our trust and then you cheat to achieve and surpass these goals, then we take it personally. Nobody's taking anything that Antonio Gates did and went, oh, man, he cheated the game. I don't blame him for using HGH or steroids to play in the NFL. I get it. Like, they're gladiators. Go out there. Like, they know they're not going to play long. They may die young. That's what they've chosen there. Baseball, it's America's pastime. You can't do that to the game. You're cheating the game. You know, Hank Aaron, you can't do that to Hank Aaron. You can't do that to Roger Maris. You know, I mean, I get it, but it's different voting criteria or different audience there when it comes to baseball as opposed to the NFL. I don't know. Yeah, McLean.
And what about Curt Schilling and Bloody Sock, by the way? I saw Seton Bristle at that.
Yeah.
Ketchup going to get you in the Hall of Fame? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't see how. I mean, Schilling is so close, but I don't know how these voters. Do you factor in who these people are? Like, you're not supposed to, but it's unless you violate something in the game of baseball, then you factor in who this person is. I guess you just look at the numbers and, you know, compare that to those greats of your generation, I guess. I don't know anymore. You know, and I always say, nobody, you shouldn't care about what I think about the Baseball Hall of Fame with Bonds and Clemens. It's your Baseball Hall of Fame as fans. Who do you care if they're in there? Do you want them in there? Do you put something on their plaque that had to do with the good and the bad? Like, it's up to you. Because do I want Bonds and Clemens in the Hall of Fame? I don't think they're Hall of Famers. They put up unbelievable numbers, showing what great players or potentially great players can do when they're cheating. It's like Lance Armstrong. They all cheat. Lance cheated, and then he wins seven Tour de France's there. But when we say, well, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he cheated. Okay, but he cheated. Curt Schilling wasn't a cheater. His political views, I do not align with at all. But I would put him in the Hall of Fame because of what I saw as a baseball player. And that's how I view it. 11-2 in the postseason. He was a money pitcher for three different franchises. You know, World Series MVP, what he did with the Red Sox, the Diamondbacks, even the Phillies. He was a number one guy there. If you don't want to vote him in, don't vote him in. Like, it doesn't change my life or my day, or if I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame and he wasn't there. Like, Pete Rose isn't in there. And if you say what Pete did as a manager, you're not going to let him hold a job. Did he cheat as a baseball player? That's what I'd want to know. Did he gamble as a baseball player? And if he did, then don't have him in the Hall of Fame. And do I think he gambled as a baseball player? Yes, I do. I don't think it started when he became a manager. But we go back and forth on these topics, it feels like every single year. You want to put Bonds and Clemens in? Go ahead. Roger Clemens was not going to the Hall of Fame. The Red Sox got rid of him. He went to Toronto and then all of a sudden found the Fountain of Youth and he became a Hall of Famer. Bonds was a wonderful player, five-tool player. And then he decided that he was not going to let McGuire and Sosa get all the headlines. And he decided, oh, you want to see what you can do when you're on steroids? Watch. And we watched and we saw. But put him in. Go ahead. How did she get me on this topic?
Nice work, Mike.
Yeah, no, whatever. Dan Patrick Show newsletter available at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, and you can sign up. Very easy. Go to danpatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right-hand corner, and you'll get a recap of the show. Let's go with Anthony in Florida. Hi, Anthony.
How's it going, Dan?
Great, Anthony.
I thought I'm the one that had the bet with Todd, and I appreciate Todd being a good sport about getting a pie to the face. I appreciate that. That was good of him, even though I didn't know it'd take him 10 minutes to open a can up. But
okay, that was you're a Washington fan.
Yes, I was curious. I thought y'all might want to know. I live here in the panhandle of Florida, how I became a Washington fan. My dad is from D.C. I'm a Notre Dame fan, too, so he liked Joe Theismann. Joe Theismann went to Washington, so that's how I became a Washington football fan.
Well, thank you, Anthony. Appreciate that. Ryan in Honolulu. Hey, Ryan. Good to have you back.
Aloha, Dan.
Aloha, Ryan.
And I just wanted to piggyback off Derek in Virginia because Chris Webber yesterday said that his second team was the Browns because they came back in as the expansion team in 99. And that's how he started following them. That's also how I started following them. And you never, in all our phone calls, have ever asked me why I'm a Browns fan.
Well, thank you for telling me how you became a Browns fan, Ryan. Or did he just tell me? Oh, I just missed the opportunity to ask Ryan how he became a Cleveland Browns. You know what? Next year, next season, call in, Ryan. Tell me how he became a Browns fan. What happened here? I thought we were moving, you know, we were going at a pretty good pace.
Got a little choppy.
The Al McPherson segment crushed early.
But that was first segment of the show.
I know.
And then I thought we kind of righted the ship, and then we were good. And then, you know, Berman, good appearance there. Got Ian Eagle coming up. He called the Nets game with the Cavs.
Don't blame it on me.
I had a couple people who tweeted who said, you did Chris Berman back to Chris Berman? I go, yes. I used to do that all the time to him. Whenever I'd see him in the hallway at the mothership, I'd be like,
in the hallway.
Yes. And he would do it back to me. I don't know if I really spoke to Chris a lot, but I would see him and I would go, and then he would go, and you? And then that'd be it. That'd be it.
Thinking back on it now.
All right, let me take a break. Ian Eagle, who was on the call last night. Ian Eagle better be good. Tell Ian, bring some stories, make up some stuff.
He'll get us back on track.
Yeah, got to get back on track. Now I'm going to have all these people calling in to tell me how they became fans of their favorite teams. Take a break. 19 after the hour. Ew, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Mercedes-Benz, the Sprinter van, you can win that. They also have the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. They have options like blind spot assist, 3-2-1, blind spot assist, active lane keeping assist, and the MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more. You can win your very own upfitted, tricked out Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, Fox Sports Radio's ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. Head to foxsportsradio.com or, better yet, danpatrick.com. Enter, get official rules for a chance to win a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van equipped with TVs and a wood pellet grill. Got a great sound system in there as well. You're ready to go on the road with that. Get all the information, entry details at foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. Sweepstakes end January 24th. Some equipment described is optional. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Still no updates on Patrick Mahomes. It's kind of weird, though, the message that we were hearing from Andy Reid that he's in concussion protocol, but then he talked about if he can't run, then he's not going to play, which has nothing to do about the concussion protocol. It has to do with an injured toe, but I'm assuming that he's going to play. Here is Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes in protocol.
He's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do and limited basis, but today is a little bit limited practice, so this fit right into what he could do. But he took all the snaps and he feels good, so I mean, we're just going to follow this protocol,
the infamous protocol. He doesn't have a concussion, at least that's what I'm told, but he's in concussion protocol and he does have an injured toe, but that has nothing to do with protocol. It'd be a shocker if he didn't play. Ian Eagan will be on the call. He's got the AFC title game. Westwood won. Busy guy. He was the Nets play-by-play voice last night, of course, all season long, as he got a chance to see the Nets and the Cavs. I guess the Nets fully assembled with Kyrie back. You want to start with football? Or you want to start with the game last night, Ian?
Hey, Dan, before we start, could I just tell you how I became a New York Arrows fan?
Yes. Yes.
Soccer league.
Yeah.
Became such a huge part of my life. Steve Jungle was an icon.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get enough of it. I consumed it every day, 24/7. And it lives with me today.
That's all I wanted to know, Ian. I wish
great chatting with you.
Yeah, I wish you well.
All the best. This was like a quasi-human moment that we just had. Thank you.
Are you preparing for both quarterbacks? You know, so as a play-by-play guy, you know, we hear defense has got to prepare for both quarterbacks. Are you prepared for Chad Henne and Patrick Mahomes this weekend?
Dan, this is why you're the best interviewer in the business. Nobody has ever asked me, are you prepared for Chad Henne? Do you have your call straight? Anything can happen. Let's go. Get the ad-libs moving. I'm ready. Either way, I feel very comfortable that I can handle it. If it is Henne, I'll make the adjustment, Dan.
You're a pro. You're a pro's pro. You're a pro's pro. But when you prepare for these games, how important is it that you get the access to these players or these coaches and you know, by doing this remotely, trying to get access, how difficult is that?
That's probably been the strangest part of the season, the lack of interaction, not just with players and coaches that we're accustomed to doing the network games, but each other. We did not have one production meeting in person. Everything was done virtually. And you make the most of that when you can, and you do have people's attention. You also see people in some rather strange setups, I must admit, that throws you a bit when you get a little deeper inside, like me for right now. I'm not where you think I am. You know, I have to do what I have to do. I get a rental in Wyoming, and this is what we're doing for the season.
And don't have pants on.
I don't. But no, you nailed it. The access or lack thereof. Yes, there's definitely a part of the broadcast that suffered because of it. But you find other ways, and even on these Zoom calls, you figure out a way to connect with a player and find something that's a little different that might create a unique answer that you can use on the air. But we did not go to one facility the entire season. And our schedule was very strict. Get to the city, test, wait for your test result in your room until you get it. And then, even then, very limited access to other people.
What's on the bookshelf back there?
This is my wife's office. I have no idea.
Well, you got bobbleheads there. You got a basketball.
Yes. Hold on. I have a dress designer. Dave, what do we got going here? Dan wants to know. I'll figure it out later.
Okay. I'm just curious. You don't even know what's behind you.
I don't.
No. Sad. He's Ian Eagle, or Ian Eagle, the YES Network play-by-play voice for the you've been called that, haven't you, before?
Oh, very much. I've been called Ian Eagle. I've been called Ian Eagle. I've been called Iron Eagle. I've been called Jan Eagle. I've been called many things that I can't even say on your family-friendly show.
At what point last night did you realize that the Nets might be in trouble against the pesky Cavaliers?
When Colin Sexton had a out-of-body experience.
Well, didn't you say Colin Sexton is not human?
Yes, and I want to make sure everybody understands.
Technically incorrect.
That is not a criticism. That is applauded. I'm saying that he's gone beyond what we thought was humanly capable. So I hope he takes that as a positive. That's what it was meant as. Yeah, they ran out of gas, clearly. Obviously, Sexton hits a three at the end of regulation. The Nets can't convert. There's a foul call that gets overturned, but a jump ball knocked to the backcourt. They go to overtime. Sexton starts to heat up. And then, as we saw, he took over in the second OT. It's one game. We all want instant gratification, as we know in life. People love instant coffee and instant dating. This is going to take a little bit of time for things to gel and mesh. But boy, is it going to be entertaining and fun along the way.
Do you have answers? Do you care about answers from Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, I think the concern for me would be if he's garnering joy from this. That to me is the real question. He didn't show a whole lot of emotion in the game. And look, I'm not going to play psychiatrist. I can only see what I see. I'm not even at the game. You know, let's face facts. I'm watching it from a screen at Barclays Center when the game is in Cleveland. So you want to talk about lacking nuance. You're getting no nuance. You can only see what they show you. But what I could gather was the first time he really emoted was when that offensive foul was called on him. And then you saw some of the facial expressions. He's definitely going through some stuff right now. And the biggest key is that he gets through that. And from a team standpoint, they need someone that is fully committed and all in. And if there's some things happening in his private life that are affecting that, then he's going to have to take care of that before the team can really turn the page and focus on winning a championship.
When you do play-by-play, how much of it is focused on the monitor as opposed to watching the game itself?
Yeah, NFL, I've probably lean more towards the monitor over the last couple of years than I had in previous years, trying to make sure that I'm talking to pictures. So I would say it's in that 50-50 range for NFL. For NBA, I was normally, under normal circumstances, I was 70-30 live action, 30 off the monitor. And right now we're 100%, basically. Even the home games, because you're high up, I find myself cheating towards the monitor more than I ever did when I was courtside, just to make sure that my eyes are matching what I think I'm seeing on the court. It's definitely been an adjustment. Look, nobody at home probably cares, and nor should they. It's the play-by-play person's challenge, and you've got to figure it out in your own way.
Have you ever stopped talking while just watching a play? Like, you almost forget that you're supposed to be calling the play that you're watching.
Yeah, I would say now more than ever, that part actually creeps into your head because you're not there. There's the moment of detachment that you feel that, man, I'm just watching this like everybody else, but you have to call it. I've been pretty fortunate that I've maintained the running commentary. But there have been a few moments where my normal muscle memory is not kicked in of what I'm seeing, synthesizing the information and spitting it out. I would say this year, Dan, in even a truncated season, I probably made two or three mistakes on identification. And I went through maybe a 10-year stretch where I made zero mistakes on identification, just based on your brain taking in the information, processing it, thinking you saw something, and then questioning for a moment if you did.
How much do you follow social media after a game you've done?
I do have a burner account. I'll be the first to admit that. It's Todd Fritz 11, if you want to follow me on Twitter. I follow a little bit. I definitely have people that send me things, so I know what's happening. I'm aware of what's being talked about.
Well, last time you got roughed up.
Oh, man. NFL games, I would say I take a day off after the game. I just learned probably 2 years ago that would maintain my sanity. I must say I don't get it as bad as others, so I'm certainly not in a position to complain. I try to bring across a affable quality, Dan. And
yeah, of
I
course.
Hope that resonates.
It's evident. It is evident right now. Oh,
I'm saying, please don't. Twitter world, don't. Don't kill me.
Who's the play-by-play voice that you want to fight?
Right now?
Yeah. Just
if I had to take on one play-by-play voice right now?
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, that's a great one.
Could you take Joe Buck?
You know, Joe's obviously bigger than me. I think I could surprise Joe in the lower extremity areas that he may not be anticipating that I would attack.
Eagle wants a piece of Joe Buck.
Yes.
Below the waist.
Quitter. All below the waist.
Yes. Yeah.
Lay off the moneymaker, Joe. Stay away from the face.
What advice did you give your son when he did the NFL game on Nickelodeon?
I did not want to inundate him, so I just gave him three pieces of advice that I thought could help him in the broadcast. One, I said, you have to have command. When this game goes on the air, people have to realize that this is unique, this is different, and it's going to start with you. It's going to emanate from you. If you set the tone early, then people will get it. Two, you have to be a really good point guard, a traffic cop, get everybody involved. If you sense that somebody isn't getting a touch, get them a touch. And then three, you must have fun. The whole point of the broadcast is to have fun. And if that's not coming across on the air, if you guys aren't laughing, if you're not enjoying each other's company, then this thing is not going to work. And he checked every box. I was really, really impressed with how he handled himself.
He did a great job. And, you know, I thought that Nate Burleson did a wonderful job as well.
He's a star.
Yeah.
He is a true television superstar.
Yeah. Well, it's great to talk to you. And
you too.
Good luck. Now, do you get to go to Kansas City or are you staying at home for the game?
No, Kansas City, I do travel.
Oh, you
for,
do? Okay.
So I will be in Kansas City. And I should mention in the NFL, I did travel the entire season. And that was odd. Like, airports are empty for the most part. TSA, you're getting through, for me, sometimes 45 seconds. And people have been very respectful of other people's space. Normally, it was the herd mentality when they did the boarding process. Now people lay back and wait. So it's been nice. It's been a nice change.
Yeah, I wasn't going to listen to the game or watch the game, but now that I've spoken to you, I'm going to listen.
Yes.
I'm going to stay in my car and
yes,
listen to Westwood One, and I'm not going to watch it.
This is why we do the interviews.
I want you to
the promotion.
I want you to paint the picture for me.
I am going to paint the word picture, and the whole time I'm going to be thinking about fighting Joe Buck
and his lower extremities. Are you doing the Super Bowl? Because if you're not doing the Super Bowl, then I'm not going to be watching.
I will be at the Super Bowl. I will be in a secondary host role, and I will also be in a Jose Oquendo type setup.
Wait, how did Jose Oquendo? That's a deep reference here.
Deep reference. I have to be ready for a number of roles
On
first what's needed
utility
in the situation.
Are you an understudy to Jim Nance at the Super Bowl?
Were you a Seinfeld viewer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bette Midler's
Bette
understudy.
Midler. Yeah.
It didn't go that well.
Rochelle.
I didn't want to say that it's comparative to that, but it might be. So I don't want to confirm that, but I'm certainly not going to deny it.
And Nance knows your name, right?
I think so.
Okay. But if Nance no shows, you are calling the Super Bowl.
Hey-o!
We're counting on you this weekend.
Thanks,
but
Dan.
Wait, are you doing the Nets game on Friday?
I am.
Against the Cavaliers?
I am.
Oh, my God. Colin Sexton is not human.
Hold on. Let me write that down.
Okay.
That's good. I should use that.
Thank you, bud.
See you, Dan.
That's Ian Eagle, or Ian Eagle, the Nets play-by-play voice. Also does NFL on CBS and Westwood One. Got a lot of jobs. I remember listening to Ian. He would do the Nets games with Mike Fratello, and it felt like they were just having a conversation and there was a basketball game going on years ago because the team wasn't very good. And it just felt like those guys were having a conversation and there happened to be a basketball game going on. By the way, the Grizzlies' next three games have been postponed. The NBA's health and safety protocols.
What do we do now?
You know I love me some Memphis Grizzlies.
I think all the Wizards games are canceled this season.
Yeah, the entire season.
Former Summer League champ.
Yeah, Memphis Grizzlies.
Never forget.
Yeah. But
did we make a shirt when the
Yeah, it's right out the hallway.
I believe we did.
Yeah, as you go down the hallway.
We're some snarky people.
Well, man. No, I said, you know what? Do you make up a T-shirt when you win the Summer League? And I said, a title's a title. We got to make up a shirt. Memphis Grizzlies Summer League champs. Those are the only T-shirts, apparently, that were made. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Oh, those stories for our final show. Fritzy checked in with, who is covering the Kansas City Chiefs you checked in with, Todd?
It was Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star, who says gates open in about an hour for media to get in there and see what's going on. But if Mahomes is out there, feels strongly that Mahomes would be playing Sunday.
Yeah. Once again, I only know what I was told, and that's somebody who works with the NFL, and they said that they were under the impression that Mahomes does not have a concussion, but he still was in concussion protocol, but he does have an injury to his toe. I don't know the severity of that, because it feels like we've been talking more about the concussion than the injured toe. I thought Bruce Arians had an interesting comment. He was asked about thinking about the Super Bowl. Here's the Buccaneers head coach.
Yeah, we don't play that game this week. That's the message to everybody. We play the Packers in the NFC Championship game. You start thinking about the Super Bowl, get your ass beat and be packing your bags on Monday.
I've enjoyed talking to Arians this year. You know, he's been very generous with his time, and it feels like he doesn't hold back, because we've had some things that have slipped by, words that he's used. Yeah, Paul.
You know, we talk about upside for quarterbacks that win a Super Bowl. If Bruce Arians gets a ring, his media career could really take off, because he's obviously a candidate for a media job, but it's, you know it better than anybody, it's so much easier to get a media job when you got a ring on your finger.
Yeah, but he did it before. I don't think Bruce was a great analyst. I think that he's a colorful guy. He'd be better in studio than calling a game. But, you know, he's very funny. I saw this tweet, great line by Dan Campbell. He just got hired by the Lions. And if you're like me, you thought that they had hired Iowa State's head coach, Matt Campbell. Lions new head coach Dan Campbell on how he ended up with the job. I told my agent, Rick Smith, make sure they think that I'm Matt Campbell. I think that's how this really worked out for me. I gave him a 6-year contract, which I didn't understand. But, hey, the Lions, it felt like they were trying to correct a problem. And I thought they made it more of a problem with, now he's there for 6 years. Like, you better be sure for 6 years. How about four? Yeah, see.
And actually, a 6-year contract sounds like something more a college coach would get.
Yes.
Extended him 6 years for blah, blah, blah.
I was also wondering about this. Like, the Bills may have this golden opportunity here, depending on what happens with Patrick Mahomes. But this weekend, we might look back on this weekend with the Buffalo Bills, let's say 5 years from now, and talk about that what-if moment, or what they did do in Kansas City against the Chiefs, and you get to a Super Bowl, or if you didn't take advantage of Patrick Mahomes when he wasn't 100%. I go back to the Jacksonville Jaguars. It wasn't that long ago. They're facing the Patriots with a chance to go to the Super Bowl and leading the Patriots. And that seems like such a long time ago. The Cleveland Browns, we might look back 5 years from now. The Browns had a chance against Kansas City. Mahomes is out. You had the entire fourth quarter, and you had your opportunity to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, maybe this doesn't matter. Maybe it's, you know, or maybe you look at it, if Mahomes is healthy the next 5 years, you didn't take advantage of the opportunity to beat Patrick Mahomes. And Buffalo has that opportunity. And, you know, go back to the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks had a chance to go to the NBA Finals. They Patrick Ewing, Charles Smith couldn't make a couple of shots. Now, they were tough shots. You know, when you're getting by the Chicago Bulls, ask the Phoenix Suns, ask the Utah Jazz, Seattle Supersonics. You get that opportunity, and you don't know if you'll ever get that opportunity again. Now, Utah got a couple of chances. Seattle got one. Phoenix got one. But that's what's at stake sometimes. You don't realize in the moment. I always go back to Dan Marino. He went to the Super Bowl in his second year. You thought, Dan Marino, with Don Shula, nobody's betting against these guys. But that's the same way with, you know, going against Patrick Mahomes. You better take advantage when you can, because you may not get that many opportunities there. Jamie in North Carolina joins us. Good morning, Jamie. What's on your mind?
Morning, guys. The year was 1995. I was 10 years old, and the Panthers started playing football, and that's when I became a fan.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think I said to Marvin, if Jamie calls, put him through because I want to know how he became a Carolina Panther fan. Now I feel like I've done a full show. You know, we've heard some people on how they became a fan. Lubomir from the Ukraine. Lubomir, welcome to the program.
Dan Patrick, when I moved to Syracuse, I had money problems. Luckily, my neighbor was a representative of the Bills Mafia, and I had no choice. I had to become a fan of the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen for MVP. Thank you.
All right, Lubomir. Thank you. You guys wondered when Lubomir called in, is he a Buffalo Bills fan? And if so, how did he become one?
I think we really stumbled onto something
here. Yeah, we did. Yes. If you just want somebody to listen to you, if you have a bland story of how you became a fan of your favorite team, this is the place.
Because who is it? Frank in Arizona? Who's a fella that we should credit for? He was so upset that you didn't care.
Oh, no, that was it Derek in Virginia?
I don't know.
Derek, yeah.
Because I didn't care about the Iowa Hawkeyes. Is that what it was? Or oh, no, Buffalo Bills, yes. Man, we've been all over the place today.
Good show, though.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
Yeah, Fritzy took them all, so I'm down in 1985. Dennis Potvin tied Bobby Orr's record of 270 NHL goals. Back to you.
Okay. Feel proud of yourself, Todd?
I didn't realize it was such a weak date in the world of history of sports that there was only three things.
What did you have?
I had...
Oh, no.
Kobe Bryant related for youngest to a certain amount of points. I don't have it in front of me. And I had for 81, I had Jack Nicklaus's birthday. He's 81 years old today.
All right. Paulie could have had that radio gold.
That's radio gold right there. At least silver.
Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Chris Berman, who used to call you the Charlotte Observer, gives the edge right out of both home teams in Sunday's conference title game.
Would. McClubbin.
I learned how people became fans of their football team.
Yeah. Seton O'Connor.
Looking forward to a cheese bath.
Yeah, Andrew Brand. If Deshaun Watson or Carson Wentz don't get traded, he gets a cheese bath. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Nobody cares more about Iowa Hawkeye basketball than us.
Yep. Todd, what did I learn on today's award-nominated program?
If offered an opportunity to tag along on an SI swimsuit shoot, I'm thinking one would graciously accept that invitation.
The supplement I take every day is M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science help you get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. What were the final results of the poll question, McLovin?
Where should Deshaun waive his no-trade clause for San Francisco?
Thanks for joining us. Our pleasure to serve you. The new Chargers head coach joins us on the program tomorrow. Talk to you then. One more item as we close out the show. The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes is back. What could you do with $50,000? This year you could find out because Rocket Mortgage is hosting the largest official game of Super Bowl Squares ever with millions of dollars in prizes. And you can enter for free for a chance to win that $50,000 every time the score changes. Plus, two lucky players are going to win $500,000 they could use towards a dream home. Touchdowns, field goals, extra points, every scoring play pays. Rocket Mortgage will be announcing winners live on their channels during the game. You can follow along on February 7th to see if you're a winner. And it's free to enter. It's easy to play. See rules? Enter now at RocketMortgageSquares.com. RocketMortgageSquares.com. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C. who are the age of majority. Ends February 4th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Equal housing lender. Licensed all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Good luck.